Welcome to the Putting Couch, brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company and Seymour's Tour Team. I'm Jim. I'm here with Ted Galina and Dr. Bob Winters, part two today. We're very excited. We introduced Dr. Bob, who is going to be a regular contributor here on the Putting Couch and really is the very definition of the Putting Couch. In fact, I needed to lay down on the couch for 30 minutes after that last one.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. And Dr. Bob sent me just a couple of bullets that he thought we might go over today. And it was 685 bullets. So I think we're covered for about the next 10 years. That's why he's the doc. Doctor, great to have you on again today.
Well, you know, thanks, Jim. Thanks, Ted. It's always great to be on the Putting Couch. And thanks for having me on. And it's great to have a venue so that we can actually talk about all things putting, all things short game, that will help golfers all around the world. So I'm just very proud to be a part, you know, of everything that you guys, you know, are doing. So, fantastic. You know, let's get to it.
Yeah. And for our listeners, we are with Dr. Bob Winters. Doc has been in golf his entire life with episode 8. We encourage you to go back and sort of get the gist of where he has come from, but it's led to a PhD in sports psychology from the University of Virginia and a complete and utter focus on the game of golf and the mental side, but it goes far beyond that. But I do think today, you know, since we did get a little flavor for the way Doc, you know, drove himself out to, you know, Arnold Palmer's summer golf camp and met the king himself and just had some incredible stories for us. And I'll just tease that. But today, Doctor, I was thinking we could just get into, you know, that application of the foundation and theory of sports psychology towards golf, towards the short game, putting, and sort of some key themes there that we'll establish for future episodes. So let's just start there.
Well, it's a great place to start. You know, always the beginning is a good place to start. So let's go back many, many years ago. So if the listeners know Dr. Bob Winters, they know me as a performance coach, a sports psychologist. I coached at the University of Virginia for 8 years. I helped start all the Nike golf schools with U.S. sports camps across the nation. And so my playing background as a player, as a coach, as an educator, it really became sort of this doctor, heal thyself. I always felt like if I could teach myself what to do, how to think, how to prepare, how to play, how to perform, even when the wheels, you know, came off and I knew how to put them back on, that would give me an edge. And that's really why everyone is listening to this podcast, because they want an edge. And the great thing about where I came from is that there really wasn't any roadmap. There really wasn't any blueprint to say, okay, this is where you need to go to really study the mental game. I sort of did it all on my own. And I was very fortunate enough when I was back in the state of Indiana where I grew up and I played golf at Ball State University. And I was a walk-on, and I had a lot of success and went on to play, you know, professional golf. I met a man who became a great friend, and he is a sports vision optometrist and a regular optometrist. His name's Dr. Herbert Price, and he had the Sports Vision Center of Indiana. It was located in Logansport, Indiana, very close to where I lived, you know, in a little rural community called Walton, Indiana, and that's where I grew up. And I knew he was working with Olympic athletes, junior athletes, AAU athletes, really developing their visual sensory skills. And I went in and talked with him and told him really what I was wanting to do, because I was getting involved into positive psychology, practice performing psychology. And I wanted to find out from Dr. Price what the visual system allowed great athletes to have. Because great athletes not only have good vision, and when we talk about vision, 20/20 is really sort of like a thermostat setting. It's just one dimension of maybe 45 to 50 different visual requirements that we need for good and excellent athletic functioning. So meeting Dr. Price, and I would love, you know, to talk a little bit more about that, because at that time, Jim and Ted, Dr. Price was a member of the American Optometric Association, and still is. He was part of their sports vision section. He was their librarian. He was their sort of gatekeeper of all the research. And he was also their videographer. And he would actually tape and record some of the best sports vision, sports performance coaches in the world. And I had a chance to actually look at all of these VHS tapes, all of the research back in the early 1980s. And we were talking to people such as Dr. Bill Lee, a pioneer in sports vision, Dr. Bill Harrison from Laguna Beach, California, a tremendous, tremendous sports vision optometrist, and other people, Dr. Craig Farnsworth. And there were people like Dr. Donald Teague, you know, from Connecticut and other places. And I had a chance to see and listen to them. So when we start talking about putting, we start talking about athletic movement. You're talking about the eyes lead the hands, lead the body. So everything that we do in putting is a fine motor perceptual skill. And it involves the brain receiving information from the external world via the eyes that transmits it to your hands and your body so you can actually make this movement based on according to the calculations you interpret through your visual sensory information. So I learned so much through those many, many years of self-discovery and being self-taught from Dr. Herbert Price that he actually took me in. And that's when I started going out on tour and started helping people, not with just sports psychology, because then it was all just about positive thinking, but it was sports vision. And when I talk about sports vision as opposed to sports psychology is extremely powerful because action follows thought. But when I first went out on tour back in the early 1980s, I wasn't just talking about thoughts. I was talking about seeing lines in the greens, being able to know where your target was through visual memory. And I was talking about things that were just so new and so radical. It wasn't like someone was shouting Barracuda in the water. When I spoke, it was like someone saying shark. And everyone wanted to come out and actually find out what was going on with me. And I had some nice success with a lot of players just giving them a few tips about how to use their visual system on the putting green much more efficiently and effectively.
So let me ask you a question. So the sports psychology side of things is, you know, we've heard that ultimately that's one of the things that's going to differentiate, you know, the great players, the Brooks Koepka. Okay. Wherever you are in your game, if you're at, you know, the top of the PGA Tour or whether you're at your club level, it seems there's always somebody else that people can look at and say, yeah, gosh, I feel like I've got the same skills as that person, right? But then, you know, we're told that the difference is in the head, right? It's between the ears. It's something that the one that wins all the time does a little something different in terms of their self-belief, in terms of the way they approach the game of golf with their confidence levels and whatever. So that's sort of the sports psychology side of things. And then you're saying next to that, okay, great players also have to have vision. And I mean, it sounds to me like you're almost talking about more about a literal vision. Although when they talk about guys like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, they talk about great quarterbacks out there, the Tom Brady's of the world, they always say they've got a great feel for the game. It slows down. And is that the same thing that you're talking about here when it comes to putting and the game of golf?
I think it's totally integrated, Jim and Ted. I happen to believe that great athletes, great golfers, great putters have not only nature and nurture, they have great DNA. What we know through elite athletes, through visual screenings, physical screenings, is that they have highly developed visual skills. Now, it's not to say that they have visual acuity that's different than, you know, the average golfer, but they've actually learned how to adapt and enhance their visual skills to give them a performance edge. So we always talk about this fairway between 6 inches, between the ears. There's also even a more minimal fairway between the eyes, and that's a distance of about 3 inches. So that 6-inch fairway becomes even tighter and more magnified if you understand that great putting, really great putting, great golf, great athletic performance begins first with the performer seeing what he needs or she needs to do and then responding to that stimulus that they're interacting with. So what we always talk about, what you see is what you get. And that's why I love being with you guys, being with Seymour, because the whole title, the advertisement of Seymour is, are you seeing more? Are you seeing more putts go in? And the real question I have to ask athletes are you seeing enough? Are you seeing enough information? Are you getting the best visual information that drives your motor system to get your little ball into that cup? And are you not only just seeing enough information, are you seeing it accurately? Because we always talk about vision and visualization. But when we talk about visualization, not a lot of people are very good at being able to visualize. Okay. They're more, and that's the where we go with all of this. But okay. Sports vision and sports psychology, for me, it's a left and right punch. It's, if I can't get somebody to get where they need to go with sports psychology, I will bring in sports vision. I will bring in neuropsychology, motor learning. So it's sort of a hybrid. And that's really what Dr. Bob Winters is all about, is taking all of these different sports sciences and giving, you know, the athlete the very best information so they can go out and perform well on the putting green or on the golf course.
Dr. Bob, is this something that anybody can learn, any level of golfer, and how can they do that? I mean, or is it just a particular type of golfer that you see in your students and players?
No, everyone can enhance their ability to see targets more clearly. Everyone can enhance their ability to have a greater idea of where the putting hole is. And we talk about visual memory and visual judgment and things like this. Anyone can do this, but not too many people know about it. So when I come out and start working with a player or groups of players, they come to me and the first thing they say is, wow, I can't believe I've been missing so much, meaning I've been missing so much information, because there are so many visual and proprioceptive clues that people miss, that the average golfer misses, if they were just a little bit more in tune of what to look for.
You so see, if I came out to do it, if I came out to have a putting lesson with you, okay, yes. I'm, you know, the average golfer is what they're going to show you their putter. They're going to show you their stroke. They're going to tell you how they do on short putts and long putts. And you're saying you're going to blow that up and you're going to give them something that they really haven't heard before.
Well, you know, the first thing I always want people to understand this, that they can hear me now and listen to me in their head later, is that every shot must have a purpose, correct? But every golf shot really must have a destination, meaning where do I want my ball to go? And when you're on the putting green, where do you want that ball to go? The ultimate target on the putting green is in the cup. So the three most important words that you have to be able to tell yourself, where do I want this ball to go? I want it to go, the three words are, into the hole. And just by you absolutely focusing on where the hole is, knowing its location, because you've got to get your ball from point A to point B, which is the ultimate target. If you just realize, here's where my ball needs to go. Now, there's a lot of terrain you have to traverse, you know, with that ball. But if you understand and you say, where do I go? You always begin with the end in mind. Where's my destination? We have a starting point. I'm at point A, I need to get to point B. So that's a really good thing to really start with. You begin with the end in mind. Where do I want my ball to go? I want it to go into the hole. And just by observing, just by looking around and looking at the terrain and slope, you start to see things a little bit different. You start to understand the mounding. You understand the color variation around the hole. You start to see the slopes. So there's so many different things. And Yogi Berra, the great Yankee coach, Yankee player, said, you could learn a whole lot just by watching. And I think that's really what I try to help people understand, is that are you seeing enough and are you seeing things accurately and consistently? If we just kind of open our eyes to really what's around us, we become better putters immediately.
So do you advocate then that the golfer starts at the hole and just sort of follows the ball backwards to where it is starting? Is that the best way to visualize that?
Well, you know, that's one way. Here's something. I mean, many years ago, I was with several of my players, and I was at Jennings Mill Country Club, which is outside Athens, Georgia. And right by the practice putting green, there was a plaque, and it was dedicated to Vicki Goetz. And she became Vicki Goetz Ackerman. She had an unbelievable short game. Unbelievable. She and her brother, Nikki. Nikki played for Clemson. I've done some work with Nikki. Nikki Goetz, both tremendous people, great players. But they had a plaque dedicated to Vicki Goetz. Why? Because she spent so much time on that putting green. Now, great putters, you know, they fall in love with the philosophy that I love to putt. They don't see putting as some necessary evil. Great putters that I have been around the last 40 years with, they love everything about putting. They love the challenge of putting. They even love the challenge of getting through the slumps of poor putting. But they realize that what they need to do, they need to see a lot of putts. And that's really what Vicki Goetz did. Great putters, Ben Crenshaw, Brad Faxon, Lauren Roberts, Larry Mize, Gary Cope, the list goes on and on, Nancy Lopez. They saw and experienced lots of putts visually, proprioceptively, through their tactile system, kinesthetic system. They saw putts that went left, right, up, down, curved. They saw lots of putts, but they also saw lots of putts going into the hole. And again, that's really what our putting couch is all about. What do you need to see more of? You need to see more putts, and you need to see more putts going into the cup, into the hole. That's what you need to see. And I don't care if you're starting at 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, you can never see, hear, or feel the ball going into the hole often enough. You can just never see that picture. And I always loved that one commercial that was made by another golf company of Annika listening to the golf ball falling into the hole. She had the headphones on. I don't know if you remember that commercial, but that was a great auditory signal, because when we make putts, we actually have this anticipatory feeling that we expect to make it. That's why making putts gets so exciting. When you start building that visual memory, that positive momentum, you start seeing the ball go in the hole. You start feeling it going into the hole, and you start expecting it to go into the hole. The contrast is that you see a lot of misses and you start feeling bad.
Right. And I was at the World Golf Championship in Memphis last week just for a day, and I noted the same thing, that these are the best putters, the best players in the world. And yet if you observed them on a Tuesday on the putting green, most of them have some sort of a track system set up. They've marked lines in the green. They've literally got close to training wheels, okay, set up on short putts, so they can just make one after another after another. And I think, you know, the average player looking at that would be somewhat surprised, because they're using all types of aiming devices. They've got tracks set up where you would look at that and say, of course they're going to make those putts, but they're drilling that sound of the ball into the hole. They're drilling that perfect stroke over and over and over. And I guess over time, that makes a difference.
That's a form of what we call self-hypnosis. What you're doing, you're actually seeing, feeling, and hearing success. You're just seeing success. And that really sort of builds up into your subconscious that you are seeing and expecting success. Really, poor putters don't want to practice putting. Why? Because they see missing, and they start fearing missing. If you want to get through the fear, you've got to start seeing, hearing, and feeling success. And I don't care if we're talking about 1 foot, 2 foot, you have to start seeing success, because that's really what builds confidence. So if you think about all the tour pros, I mean, at whatever level, even in college, even some of my elite junior players and almost all my players, I have them making putts. Because if you're not striving to make putts, then don't even putt at a hole. If you're working on your stroke, don't even go to a hole. But if you really want to work on your putting acumen, your putting confidence, you're working to actually make putts. You're striving to step up there and make every one. And it's what Nicklaus said years ago. He says, I've never hit a shot in my practice that I didn't make count. Because what Nicklaus knew is that the 99%ers, the rest of the world, they're counting every shot. But Nicklaus wanted to be a 1%er. He wanted to make every shot count. See, it's one thing to count all your shots, but it's another thing to make every shot count. And that's what we have to do with every putt. We have to have a very purposeful stroke. We have to have unbelievable commitment. And we talk so much about trust, but that's how you develop it. You develop it, you know, through sort of this sweat equity investment. And so after a while, you feel that you have earned the right to feel confident on the putting green. And that's really why putting practice is so important, because you are building, seeing success, and you're doing it one putt at a time.
So at what level, Doc, does a golfer, you know, they've got their goals, right? And a lot of golfers, you know, that we meet with and players that, you know, they're average handicap. They might be an 18 handicap, a 20 handicap player. And their real big issue is that way too many three putts, even some four putts, right? So a golfer like that, their goal, you know, to get, I would say at some point, you know, before you get to where you're making every single putt, they probably want a two putt. But is it all
three putts?
Yeah. But is it all tied together? I mean, in the end of the day, I guess ultimately it sounds like you'd love every golfer to get to the point where they're trying to make every putt. So does that mean it's going to be almost a more aggressive putt at some level than maybe people are used to taking? And how do they get to that point?
Well, that's a huge question. We could spend, you know, five podcasts on that. One of the biggest issues for most average players, say 15 to 25 handicap level, is that they have issues of speed and distance control. Why? Because they really haven't spent that much time practicing or putting, because they want to spend a lot of time working on their long game. So one of the things that I've always tried to help, when I say the 15 to 20 handicap or even the low handicap player, is find the sweet spot on your putter. Really hit the putt solid. And then start doing a lot of distance drills, ladder drills, making sure that you can actually hit a 20-foot putt 20 feet. And if you want to hit it, you know, 25, 30 feet, then practice hitting it 25, 30 feet. But you have to have some type of distance and speed appreciation. And all that gets back into is what we call putting judgment. Now, putting judgment is, it's a process of you forming an opinion of how your ball is going to perform once it actually leaves your putter face. So putting judgment is really how hard you're going to swing the putter to impact, and at what force is needed to send that ball rolling. And it's really at what, you know, point do you want that ball traveling at the terminal velocity when the ball is getting close to the hole. So if I can get people to understand distance judgment, speed control, and hitting it solidly, that's one thing. And they'll get a lot closer on all of their long putts when they finally realize, where do I want my ball to go? I want it to go into the hole. And that's where the visual system comes in. Because when you give yourself a very specific end destination, you're telling your eyes to tell your head and neck and body and the proprioceptors, you're telling, here's how far it is. We always talk about depth perception and vision. But there's another category of depth perception called distance judgment. And when people have good depth perception, good distance judgment, they can make more precise motor movement judgments about how hard they need to hit it. I mean, here's a great exercise for everyone if they want to find out how good their visual system is and their visual memory. Just go out, take about one ball, go about 20 to 25 feet from a hole. Just look down, get over the ball, take a look at the hole, then come back to the ball. You can take a look, 2, 3, 4 looks. And then once you've finally taken that last look at the cup, come back to the ball, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now step and walk to the hole and see if you can put your putter head into the hole. It's almost like the old little game we used to play as kids, pin the tail on the donkey, which really was nothing more than a task at visual memory. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Except now we're not turning you around. So now here you are at point A. Do you really remember where point B is? And so what I find doing this over thousands and thousands of different clients over the years, almost 98% of everyone, you know, is show some tendency in their putting. They'll come up a little bit short. They'll actually come up a little bit short and right or short and left. And a very few of them ever go long and left. They always tend to come up short, which in sports vision, you have different visual postures. Orthophoric posture is when your eye muscles are aligned. So when you see something at 20 feet, your visual system is telling your brain it is there at 20 feet. But then we have, you know, exophoric posture and esophoric posture. Eso is I see things a little bit short. Now, I'm going to give you a little information here that's very, you know, revealing. Many years ago, Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson, who were known as real charging putters, correct? I mean, they were always known aggressive. They were always known to get the ball to the hole. What they found out is that their eye muscles actually allowed them to see the hole further than what it really was in true space. So if they saw it 20 feet, 11 inches, they were always going past the hole. And maybe it might go up past the hole a foot, 2, 3 foot. They always had a 3 and 4 foot comebacker. And people always said, wow, they're a charger. Okay. But really what they were saying, it wasn't so much their personality. It was their visual system telling them almost misaccurately that the ball, you know, and the hole weren't really where it needed to be. So they actually hit it to where they thought it was. Now, other people who have been diagnosed as esophoric, they see it short. So no matter how hard they hit it, they see their end destination and they keep coming up short.
Interesting.
And those people who are orthophoric posture have great distance control. I've actually tested a lot of basketball players on this. And some of your very best basketball shooters are very what we call ortho posture. They see the rim exactly where it is in free space. So that's a great little drill that everybody can try. And it's a fun way to make some money on the putting green.
That's
somebody
awesome.
Says, hey, I bet you $10 that you can't go out and put your putter head into the hole and tell me exactly where it is. It's a very revealing. It gives you great immediate feedback. And a lot of people, you know, love that drill.
Now, if somebody is constantly coming up short, and you're saying that, hey, that may actually not, I mean, that could be a combination of fear. It could be a combination of just trying to get it close. And you're saying it's also very, very possible that just their whole visual system, I mean, they're hitting it to where they see the hole.
Exactly.
And they're not making adjustments to that. So can that type of golfer, I mean, then once they realize that, they can make the adjustments?
Yeah, they can actually look at the back of the hole, especially it comes up into play a lot of times on putts 10, 12 feet and under, Jim and Ted. It comes up a lot. Is that they're making a great stroke and they're just leaving it short. And they're always telling themselves, get it to the hole. Get it to the hole.
Yeah.
So instead of looking at the front of the hole, they should be looking at a point at the back of the hole where the ball needs to traverse and actually go into. And that way they'll give themselves about a 4-inch cush right there.
Well, that's awesome stuff. Hey, we've actually, believe it or not, we've just chewed up a half an hour. We're going to have many, many more of these. And, you know, I think, you know, with Seymour, obviously, that one of the cool things about the Seymour putter is that, you know, because of our rifle scope technology and our alignment system and our visual check system, many of those golfers that, you know, most golfers are going to have some issues that they need to lock in on. And, you know, we can help with that. As you know, you've introduced the product many times to your top golfers, and you constantly give us great feedback on that, but we'll go into that later. And again, one of the next issues, but today we learned some great stuff. And again, we've been with Dr. Bob Winters, and he is going to be a regular contributor to the Putting Couch. And you know, I think this is going to give us all the deep thinking that we really rarely, you know, really consider, and how many levels there are of this game and even of the putting game. And, you know, I think one of the things I learned today is that you said the great putters, they love to putt. They love everything about it. They understand they're going to have terrible rounds and terrible days and days where they miss everything, but they just, it's the challenge of trying to get better at putting that drives them. And eventually, with the right guidance, they'll become the best putters.
Well, absolutely. Great putters see, you know, the ball going in. Poor putters seeing it staying out. In fact, they don't see anything making at all. And if people really want to get a hold of me, Jim and Ted, they can always reach me at theconfidencedoctor.com. You know, I'm glad to work with everyone, so we can actually just, you can contact me there. We have an information portal, and they can get a hold of Dr. Bob Winters. And I'm really looking forward to the next time we talk, guys, because we're just brushing the surface on many different things.
Great info, Dr. Bob. Learned a lot today, and I know our listeners did. And if you haven't listened to episode 8, when we introduced Dr. Bob, you need to go back and listen to that. And then now listen to this episode 11, and looking forward to many more episodes. Thanks, Dr. Bob. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.